Hey everybody, this is Chewy, and before we start the show, I wanted to let you know that May Mayhem is back. Last year, we found the best item in Animal Crossing New Horizons. This time, we will be looking for the best villager in New Horizons. So be sure to check the description for a form where you can list your top 5 favorite villagers in the game and put them in the running for May Mayhem. As for the rules, you can pick any villager that appears in Animal Crossing New Horizons. Do not pick special characters. Your Tom Nooks, your Isabelles, leave them out of this. It is only for the villagers. You must list 5 different villagers. Duplicate answers will be disqualified. Your responses will only amount toward 1 vote toward a certain villager. Do not write Raymond's name 5 times or else, trust me. All villagers must be in New Horizons and obtainable without hacks, so no modded villagers. They are just the ones that appear in the game without all of that stuff. Well, we hope you have fun with this, and may the best villager win May Mayhem. Also, we recorded this episode over a month ago now, but life got living, and I haven't had a chance to post it until now. So please enjoy the show, and we'll see you again very soon.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Haken, an Animal Crossing podcast. I'm Chewy, and this month I'm once again joined by Nina and Sergio. I've returned from Super Nintendo World, and I have some things to tell you about it. From there, we'll take some time to celebrate 3 years of Animal Crossing New Horizons. We'll remember the good old days, and then imagine what's next for the future of Animal Crossing. So to begin, hello Sergio, how are you doing?
Hey Chewy, I'm doing pretty awesome. It's been a very good day, and I'm excited to hear about Super Nintendo World from you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to tell you about Super Nintendo World. Nice. And then, hi Nina, how are you?
I'm good. I'm starting to recover from my worst spring break ever, but, you know, still kicking.
It's because you just scheduled too much adulting.
I guess I did. During spring break. I over-adulted.
Yeah, you've gotta take a break. Mm-hmm. That's why it's a spring break, right?
Oh, that's true. Mm-hmm. Should have known. Mm-hmm.
Should have done it better. Should have, could have, would have. Maybe next spring break.
Next spring break.
What is that? In like a week or so?
Yeah, yeah. It's still spring. That's how that works.
Yeah. They should. Oh man, at work somebody was like, "Why don't we get spring break like just from work?" And I was like, "You're right. We should. That should just be a thing.
It should."
Yeah, like Golden Week in Japan.
Or in France, when they just take all of August off.
I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Like, we should all be doing that. Mm-hmm. Anyways, during my spring break, I went to Super Nintendo World.
Yeah.
And my spring break was a weekend. So, it wasn't a long one. And it was a short weekend. Normalize calling the 2-day weekends short weekends. And 3-day weekends are just weekends. And okay. Beyond is just a weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, we want long weekends to be the norm, basically.
Yeah.
I went to Super Nintendo World. I have things to tell you about my experience there. Should I just like break it down, like all of it?
Yeah.
Okay. So The first thing I think that's important to start with is when you're going to Super Nintendo World, it is currently open in Universal Studios Hollywood, and there's the Japan location, but the Hollywood one just opened, so that's where I went, and it had been open for only a couple weeks at the point where I had gone there. As of right now, you do have to buy an extra ticket on top of your ticket. It was $25 for us to get early access to the park, go into Super Nintendo World first thing in the morning, and then, you know, just be there before everybody. I think you don't really need it to get into the thing, but you will have to enter an online wait line to get into the park if you don't buy this. But that said, I think it's worth it, honestly. I think it's worth the price on top of your ticket to go in, because the place is so packed. I think that first hour, that early hour that you're in, is basically your chance to do everything there without waiting in incredibly long lines the entire day. Mm-hmm. So, and it's going to be incredibly long waits for everything because it's just, there's a lot of people. A lot of people want to go to Super Nintendo World, and I get it. So the first hour, so I'll get you into my arrival. We went on a Sunday, and the park opens officially at 8 a.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. But because we got the early access ticket, we could get in at 7 a.m. Oh. So just a whole hour earlier. I was waiting for my friends to park and get into the park, but in that time, I walked into the gift shop right when I entered the park, and it was just full of all the Mario things that I could get my eyes on. It was amazing. It was completely empty because everybody was just kind of running straight down to the section where the Mario stuff is. So I just got footage of basically an empty gift shop. Nice. And it was great.
Excellent.
While I was there, I did pick up my power band. I got the Yoshi flavored power band, of course. I just thought it was the cutest one. Yeah. I think the Toad and the Yoshi ones were the cutest, but I think the Yoshi one was extra cute because it has polka dots and all the polka dots are different colors. The Toad one, I think, was just one color polka dots.
Did they also have Mario and Peach?
Yes, they have Mario, Luigi, Peach, Daisy, Bowser, Toad, Yoshi, and I want to say that's all of them. Okay. I want to say there are seven of them. I'm kind of surprised they included Daisy in that, but I'm not surprised that was literally the only piece of merch with any sort of Daisy reference on it. So it's the only Daisy thing I saw, which I'm sad about because I'm a Daisy fan. I'm a Daisy main in Mario Party 3.
Nice.
So I was between the Daisy power band and the Yoshi power band. Next time I go, I'll probably get the Daisy, to be honest with you. They eventually got in and we went down to the bottom section of the park. So Universal Hollywood is split up into different levels and you basically take five giant escalators down to the lower lot where the Nintendo stuff is all tucked away. You can see it from up there, just overhead shots of it. But once you're in that park itself, it's just everything is so tall. It's just Mario. You're just in the Mushroom Kingdom from then on. So it's pretty cool. But anyways, we went down, went through the line, and right at the entrance, it's just a warp pipe. It says Super Nintendo World. It's all lit up and amazing. When you walk in, it goes doop, doop, doop. It makes a little warp pipe sound, you know? It's so cool. And then you walk in, and you end up in the castle, in Peach's castle, in Super Mario 64 with all the paintings and stuff, and they'll do the little effect after Mario jumps in, you know, it does the little ripples and that sort of thing. It's so cool. It just feels like a Mario world. We took some pictures out in the front, of course. Yeah. I kind of posted some on Twitter. I still need to post them on Instagram, but I was just jumping in front of the, got to do that Mario jump, you know.
Aww.
Hit the blocks, and there's a random lady who just happened to pop out of the warp pipe right next to it. So not my fault she was there.
She's allowed to be there.
She's allowed to be there. I mean, yeah. I didn't know she was going to pop out. I didn't know where she warped from. Who knows? For the other, maybe she was in Yoshi's Island or something.
The mass transit system.
Yeah, that's how people get around in Super Nintendo World. So that's just what happens. Okay, from there, we basically just like looked around, were amazed, and then went straight into the line for Bowser. Well, I guess it's like Bowser's Castle, but it's like the Mario Kart ride. It's Bowser's Challenge. So it's all kind of like Bowser themed. But the line, honestly, I think to this, it's still my favorite part. Just the line that goes into the ride. It's incredible. The first section you walk into is Yoshi's Island themed, which is adorable. Yeah, yeah. I know, Sergio, you're a big Yoshi fan, so I thought you'd really appreciate that part of it.
Right.
But yeah, it looks incredible. His little fruits are growing on the apples and that sort of thing. The fruits are growing on the trees, not the apples. They look like little apples, you know? And then you walk through. It's kind of got a lot of different levels to it. So there's like stairs and stuff. It made me wonder like what the accessibility access to the ride was, because there was like definitely a lot of stairs and winding places to go through in order to get through the line. And then you reach the end of the Yoshi's Island spot. You get a lot of different parts. Like there's the exteriors, there's kind of like a cave you go into, which is cute. And then you go through another warp pipe and that takes you outside again. And you're on the upper level and you can see the park a little bit more clearly from all just being up on the second level, you know? And from there, it takes you into Bowser's Castle, and that we had to wait outside of that for a little while because the ride was down. They had to, I don't know what they did, but I think this is everybody's experience from what I've heard, is just like the ride does not like to work first thing in the morning. So a lot of people end up like in that line just waiting for them to get the ride up and running again. We were there for a while, but I was able to spy a couple of the hidden Pikmin
in Bowser's Castle.
They were not in the castle. They're kind of like in the exterior section, but at that point in the line, we were in the top level, but it was exterior, so we could see the rest of the kind of plaza, you know? And so we found some hidden Pikmin while we were there. As I promised, I told you all I would keep my eyes out for anything Animal Crossing related or anything other game related. I think the only thing really is just Pikmin. There were a couple of presents in the cafe that I was like, oh, that looks Animal Crossing enough. I guess we'll try to count it. But I'll get to that. Bowser's Castle, giant Bowser statue right up front. I also posted a picture of that as well on Twitter. Really, really cool. I don't know. It was just a huge Bowser, and I loved it. I thought it was amazing. Everybody does the same pose in front of it. I did it. I wore it better. I'm just stating the facts, Nina.
Okay.
Just stating them. The line from there, it's really cool. It becomes kind of like a workshop, like Bowser's working on like ba-bombs and different bullet bills and things, or going through these like conveyor belts and that sort of thing. So all the screens, you'll see like, I'm trying to remember which baddie was there building them. I think it's just you see the ba-bombs going through the conveyor belts and that sort of thing. All the trophies are there from Mario Kart, all of the different little plaques, like the ones you choose, the Grand Prix that you want to race in. So they've got all of that. It just looks incredible. The whole thing, it's themed very, very well. And I was slowing down the line because I was just like taking my time filming everything. People are trying to get through to the ride and stuff. I'm like, you'll get there when I get there, buddy. Hold up. But I just wanted to take it in because I was like, I don't know when I'm going to be in this line again. I don't want to wait 2 hours plus to ride. So I just took it all in. From there, you get to another little room where they give you just like an explanation of how the ride works, sort of. But basically, you get this headband thing. You put it on your head. You can tighten it or loosen it so it fits on your head a little bit better. And that thing doesn't actually have the like AR visor, like glasses thing. That is on the ride itself. There's just like a magnetic strip on the headband. And the headband, the front of it has like you're wearing the Mario hat, you know, Mario's hat. And right underneath, there's just like a black bar thing. And once you get on the ride, you take the AR goggle things and that just magnetizes to the headband. So then you can look through and you'll see like Bowser racing around and all these other, you'll see item blocks and you can see where you're shooting your shells at. So the ride is a lot. I think it's worth riding twice. I didn't because, like I said, long line. But I think it's worth riding twice because at first you're just like trying to figure it out because you have a steering wheel. You can like steer and I guess that does something. I don't know. And you can kind of look at different items and press the buttons on the steering wheel to shoot shells and stuff. And then you get a score at the end. I thought the AR stuff was, like, okay. The things that really impressed me were some of the more decorated rooms on the ride. Like, there was the cloud level in Mario Kart 8, you know? Where you're jumping through the clouds on, like, the beanstalk vines, you know? That looked so good in that. Rainbow Road, that section looked really amazing. But just, like, the really well-decorated portions of the ride looked incredible, and I was like, oh, I kind of don't need the AR stuff. I just thought this part was really cool, you know.
So what kind of roller coaster type car were you in?
It's shaped kind of like a Mario Kart, basically. Like you hop in, it kind of feels like you're in a go-kart, basically,
like a little two-person go-kart.
If each of them could hold four people.
Oh, wow.
But each person had their own little steering wheel slash go-kart setup. So everybody had their own steering wheel and stuff, but the big cars themselves held up to four people. And the ride doesn't like go up or down at all. It's all kind of level, but you do spin around a lot. Yeah. So like there'll be moments where it's like, oh, you got hit by an item and then your car spins out, so your whole body actually spins with that. There's kind of a lot going on. It was truly a lot to take in the first time, and I'm like, yeah, I can see why people would want to ride this more than once to get an idea of like how it works and everything.
Yeah.
I will say as well, if you got the power band, like you can scan that on the steering wheel when you first hop in, and then it'll like track your score on the app and everything. The app itself, it works through the Universal Studios app. There's a little section on there where it's Super Nintendo World. Once you click on that, you can register your band and have it connected to your profile and that sort of thing. So I think I'm trying to remember exactly when I went through it, but I'm pretty sure it like let me log into like my Nintendo account. So it's all connected there, like all the online stuff. But yeah, the band, once it's connected, like everything you interact with, it just like goes toward your score, and you can check your score on the app at any moment. I didn't score very high on the ride. I was probably one of the lower ones in the group I was in with my friends. So, but yeah, I was just trying to take as much of it in as possible and being amazed, you know. The ride, like all great rides, lets you out at the gift shop at the end. And so one thing I noticed, every gift shop that has like any of the Nintendo stuff throughout the park, it all has the same like Nintendo stuff. So there weren't differences from the one at the entrance to the park to the one actually inside Super Nintendo World. Good thing, because you know some people just won't be able to get in if they didn't like buy the access and their time to get in never comes, or you know.
Oh, right, for the ride.
Like if you're line and everything. Because like it's all a different section. Like Super Nintendo World is a different section of the park, and you have to go through like an online queue to get into it if you didn't buy like the early access pass. So what I'm saying is, good thing all of the gift shops have the same stuff. So if you just want to like buy Nintendo stuff but can't get into the Nintendo park, then you'll be able to find all the same things.
Well, and I love roller coasters, but I do not do well on rides with screens. So I don't know if I'd want to ride this ride.
It's an interesting one because it's like the visor itself, like the glasses are see-through. Like you can see through them. It's just kind of like stuff pops up in it. It's like, you know, augmented reality, basically. And yeah, I don't know. I think I'd have to do it again to get like a real good feeling for how it all felt and looked and everything. But personally, myself, I also agree with you. Like I prefer if the ride's just like, you know, decorated with physical props and that sort of thing. But, you know, I think Universal Studios in general, as a park as a whole, really does a lot less of that. And they really do like doing kind of like the screens and augmented reality stuff. So
they do. Yes.
they do. It's a lot of their stuff, I think it would have just worked really nicely if it were just like the Mario Kart things, because that stuff was honestly my favorite part of the ride. Just the stuff that was like really well built out and felt like a Mario set. And that's what I liked about the world in general. Like I thought it was very well built out. Everything was really vibrant and bright and fun. And like from the moment you walk in, it just feels like they made it into Mario World. They made it into the Mushroom Kingdom, you know?
That's nice.
So it all looks really good when you're in there. And then the rest of the park opens and it's just packed the entire time. Oof. So by the time the ride was like fixed and they were letting the line move again, the rest of the park had opened and we had seen like people just start flooding in to get into Super Nintendo World. So after that, I was just like, well, this park will never be empty again. And it wasn't. So the gift shop, lots of cool things, lots of Mario things, lots of different characters represented, honestly. I bought for myself one of the little Mario plushies, because I think it's one of the cutest Mario designs that we've ever gotten. Usually I'm not like really big on Mario himself, but I thought he looked really good as a little as this little Super Nintendo World plushie. The other ones I got were a Shy Guy keychain. It's like a little plush Shy Guy, and the same with a plush Ba-Bomb keychain. And those are they're just my favorite. I probably would have grabbed a Goomba too, because I like Goombas as well. But I do already have like my own plush Goomba and plush Ba-Bomb. But I like the little keychain versions. And Shy Guy, I love a good Shy Guy. Shy Guy's awesome.
Oh. I've seen some cute headband pictures too. Like they're trying to do their own version of the Mickey ears.
Yes. The Boo ones are the closest to the Mickey ears, where there's two Boos on there. That one's really cute. The Yoshi one is adorable. Mm-hmm. It's just a little Yoshi sitting on your head. It's so cute. I was very tempted to get that one.
I want the Boo ones really bad.
The Boo ones are adorable as well. They're both really great. The headbands are amazing. There was a really cool lamp that's like the one-up block. And at the end of the string, Mario's doing his little jump, you know, to hit the lamp. That was really cute. They had a lot of pins and patches and that sort of thing that you could put on your jacket or your bag. And yeah, I did notice there wasn't like a Peach plushie, and I was sad about that because I was like, oh, I would have liked a Peach to go with my Mario, you know? I guess I could have grabbed Luigi so he wouldn't be alone, but I got him a Shy Guy friend and a Ba-Bomb friend.
How did the shelves look? Like, what were things selling out quick?
They were restocking quick. Okay. Like anything that I saw, if it ever got low, there was just somebody right away just filling it up. So I don't think you have to worry about like stock of anything. Like they have a ton. And good. I think the stuff all looks really good, honestly. There was a lot of stuff that I was like, oh yeah, that'd be pretty fun to get and everything. But I think they know that as well, because it seemed like people were buying a lot of different things there. So I was glad to see like if something was low on stock, people were right there to fill it up again. So yeah, I don't think you have to worry about anything selling out if that's what you really want to do there all day, because there's tons to shop for. They have t-shirts, they got sweaters, they got it all. They honestly have it all.
That's good to hear.
It almost it felt like more stuff than that was even at the Nintendo World store in New York. That said, it was all Mario themed. Like everything there was like something from the Mario world, you know. So as far as variety goes, it's all you're gonna find. So I'd still say, like, if you want to get some different things, Nintendo World store in New York's probably the better place to get a variety. But if you want a variety of a certain character, and that character is Mario, then that's it. The other cool thing is they have a shop outside of the park too, with all of the Mario things. And I think you can get like the power band early there if you do that. So that's pretty cool. So after that, we'd ridden the ride, we've seen the world, I'd hit like a few of the blocks with my power band to collect some coins and stuff, and we went to the Toadstool Cafe. We scanned the sign up front to get into the line for that. We got the earliest time that was available at that point was 12:45, so we were like, well, that'll be a long wait. So we asked around, and they said, like, if you have a reservation to the Toadstool Cafe, you can get back into the park without having to get into the line, the like virtual queue again. Because here's my next warning: once you do get into that park, it's like it's a one-time entry. Like once you leave, like you can't get back in unless you go through the virtual queue again. But like I said, if you get a reservation at the restaurant, then they will let you back in without having to worry about that. You just come back when your reservation time is going. So ours was at 12:45. We tried them at 12:30, and they're like, no, come exactly at 12:45. And we're like, okay. So, and that's just like outside of the Super Nintendo World area itself. And then 12:45 hit, they let us back in. But once you get there, you go to the front, and they're like, okay, it's your reservation time.
Goodness.
Now you have to wait in this really long line to actually go and eat. So it's literally just a reservation to wait in line to go and eat. I think by the time we had our food, it was like 2.
No.
Maybe like 2:15. It was the longest wait we had all day. So while we were in line, I guess I could have like run around and done some other things, but I was just like hitting the block and stuff, just kind of taking a little break because we'd already walked around different parts of the park, you know? But yeah, just wait in line until you finally get into Toad's Cafe. And even once you're in, that's when I saw the big presents on the ceiling. Edwin took a good picture of that. I think I may have posted it, but it was the most Animal Crossing thing there. Just some, just some presents that look like the classic white box, red ribbon from Animal Crossing. I don't think it was Animal Crossing themed. It seemed like a little bit more Mario or Toad themed, right? There was also a little mini game to play in there. You just like pick one of two presents and try to get a prize from there, and it'll have like some sort of value toward your score in the Mario world. But yeah, the food there, they don't have a huge menu. We got most of it between the five of us who were together. So we tried the Mario burger, the Luigi burger, which was more of a chicken sandwich, like a grilled chicken sandwich. We got the Yoshi's favorite fruit salad, and we got the mini Mario burger meal, and we tried one of the desserts. They were out of the one dessert that we wanted, which looks kind of like the green mountains in Mario, kind of the flat ones where he jumps across sort of thing. But we did try the question mark tiramisu cake, and it was really good. That was a good one. We were convinced that it was better than the cake, the green cake thing, because a lot of people did not eat that. We saw it left over on a lot of people's tables.
Oh, I wonder why.
I don't know, honestly. But the Mario burger, it has a little hat on it, Mario's hat, and then they burn in Mario's mustache underneath. It looks really cute. Luigi's, same kind of thing. Luigi hat, Luigi's mustache on there. They do have different mustaches. Nice. So the mini Mario burger has like a full like Mario doing his classic jump. So that one was really cute. I kept all of their little hats too, by the way. Mm. So I can use them on cakes later. I'm sure my nephew will like them. But I'm trying to remember. Oh, we also got a drink. It had little popping boba, you know, the ones that are more like juice and they pop once you drink them. And then it had little star shaped gummies in there as well. And it was a lemon, what was the other flavor? It's kind of a lemonade mixed with another flavor that's not very lemony. But it was good. There was like different things that we didn't get. The soup bowls looked adorable because they had like a little mushroom cap on it. So it looked like a one-up mushroom, just a regular mushroom, like a power-up mushroom. But all the things were like decorated really well. The food looked like really cute and everything. It was just fine, though. It's the food itself. It wasn't the best burger I ever had. Probably wasn't the worst burger I've ever had.
I mean, it's theme park food, right?
Yeah, but I mean, like, Disneyland has really good food.
Yeah.
Universal Studios, not so much. Oh. But I feel like that tends to be the comment in those like Japanese cafes, you know, when people go where they're like, oh yeah, the food looks incredible. It's just fine though. Like the taste is whatever. But yeah, I think the food itself looked good and the atmosphere looked really cool. Cause like just sitting there and hearing the Mario music play and it's just like they got a good mix where it's like nostalgic Mario for me because there were some like Mario 64 tracks that were playing in there and yeah. I like that aspect. And that was basically that was what we did in Super Nintendo World. Cool. But I do have some tips and tricks real quick before we move on to actually talking about Animal Crossing because it's been I don't know how long. Definitely, I think it's worth getting the early access, and I think it's worth getting there early and buying the power band first thing. The power band, I didn't use it too much, but there are different games that you can play, and once you beat, like, all three games, you get all the keys, and you can go to a special section. I didn't do any of that, because it was all just way too crowded, so I think if you go early and get your power band, honestly, you probably have enough time to play all those games before the rest of the park opens up and it gets too crowded to do any of it. Right. So, but before that, once you walk in, right away, go and scan the Toadstool Cafe QR code and pick an early time, like 10:30 or 11, because by the time you get in there, it'll be lunchtime and it's more like lunchtime food. So get an early time and wait in line for that. And do that, like I said, do that first thing, because you do have to go to the front of that of Toadstool Cafe to scan the QR code and get the link that lets you sign up. From there, go and play all the games before getting into the line for the ride itself, because I think that'll probably be the only chance that you have before everything becomes like a really long wait. And then try to get into the line for the ride before the rest of the park opens. And the reason I say, like, do the line for the ride late, from my experience and from what I've seen from other people, it seems like they have trouble with that ride when it first opens up. So instead of, like, waiting and the park opening up and everything getting crowded, go and do the other stuff around because they're going to be working on that ride for a little while to get it up and running. And then Yeah, just make sure you're in that line before the park opens up, because it turns into from like a 20-minute wait into a 2-hour wait right after that. So, do the games. Well, I guess the order. Get your power band. Mm. Get your QR code at the Toadstool Cafe to get your reservation. Play all the games and then get in line for the ride before the park opens up, and you'll do it all in that first hour. Honestly,
wow.
Don't worry about the final game after you've done the keys. That one was always like 5-minute wait time. Like because it took so long for people to get all the keys and actually get to that spot. Whoa. Like once you get those 3 keys, head straight to the ride. If you want to experience that. The last thing I will say, take your 3DS. There is a special street pass that you will receive from the park itself. So it is worth taking your 3DS. I checked kind of in the middle of the day, and I was really surprised. One, I wasn't surprised. One was just my friend who also brought his 3DS to get the street pass. We both got each other, of course. The other was another person who happened to have the same birthday as my friend, which I thought was hilarious, because as you get street passes, it'll fill in your calendar with, oh, you've seen people with these birthdays, or you've seen people from these places. You just get little stats and stuff. I think it's cute. And then the last one was a special me that looked like Mario, and I was like, this is definitely from the park. I hope I street passed it again, but I want to get a recording of it. Just to see. That's all I have to say. Get a special street pass while you're there, and maybe get some other street passes from the people who are there as well. So that's what I have to say. Do you have any questions before we move on? I feel like I'm talking so much.
Well, are street passes going away anytime soon?
They're not.
Okay.
Street passes, I think that functionality will stick around. I think the only thing that's like really closing right now is the 3DS eShop. So you won't be able to like buy new games, but you'll still be able to like download stuff you've had in the past and get updates and all that sort of thing. You just can't buy new games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, so that's it. That's Super Nintendo World.
I'm glad you got to go. Band.
I really liked it, honestly. It's just, once you're in there, it just is really cool. It all looks really good. So even if you like, you know, for you, Nina, you don't care for, you probably won't care for the ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's even like cool if you just go and go through the line just to look at the stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I would ride it, but I get sick on those.
Close your eyes.
Yeah.
A lot happens. But yeah, like all of the stuff is just so good to look at. If you're going now when it's, you know, really hyped up and really busy, just go early and do all the stuff as early as possible. Because it's packed. The whole place is packed the entire day. So yeah. Let's go ahead and talk about Animal Crossing now. So it's been 3 years since Animal Crossing New Horizons has released. As of our recording, we're just 2 days before the 3rd anniversary. Isn't that wild?
Yeah. I don't like that.
It's been such a long time.
I don't like it.
There's not a new Animal Crossing on the horizon at all. No. So
Horizons.
We're old. It's officially Old Horizons. This 3-year-old game that nobody's playing anymore, aww, it's old. It's Old Horizons. It's just like Old Leaf. Old Leaf and Old Horizons. I guess to kick it off, I wanted to ask you both, like, what are some of your favorite memories of the game? Sergio, do you want to kick us off here?
Sure. I would say, so my top 3 favorite moments of basically these 3 years of New Horizons, definitely the first few weeks after launch, because, you know, everybody was so excited to be playing the game, and everybody was playing and everybody was forgetting about the crazy pandemic that was going on. So that was a very like nice way to kind of experience that and kind of lessen the impact of that. It was definitely an awesome time. And, you know, I took 2 weeks of work, and it really cemented how awesome that time was. Oh, and another thing, since it was kind of like the tutorial part of the game and we wouldn't get hourly music until after a while, I feel like everybody was just playing until they got to that point where we got the music. And it kind of just kept us playing more, mm-hmm. I think. So yeah, that was awesome. The second top moment for me would be November 2021 when we got New Horizons 2.0 update. A big part of that is because it got a lot of people back into the game. It got a lot of excitement on social media and in Haken, and a lot of people were playing daily again after the update. So that was kind of like a reminder of how things were when the game came out. So that was awesome as well. And last but definitely not least, the New Year's countdown events for between 2020 and 2021. I had two of them. We did one at Nina's Island, Eastern time, and that was awesome. I very fondly remember that time. And then also on my own island, I had someone over, someone very special to me. So it was like a 2 event between 3 hours, very memorable end to 2020 and very memorable 2020 overall because of New Horizons.
I just love remembering that you took 2 weeks off.
I know.
To play the game.
So that jealous. It's
such a great time, you know? It's just such a... I want to do that when the next Animal Crossing game comes out. Just that's vacation, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And yeah, just like having so many opportunities to hang out with everyone while the game was like fresh and new and exciting, you know? It just felt like... It felt like the right place to be at all hours of the day because there was nothing else we could do.
Yep.
That's true.
We literally couldn't do anything else. And honestly, we didn't want to. Mm-mm. That was all we wanted. Yeah. Just play Animal Crossing all day, every day. Mm-hmm. So Nina, what are some of your favorite memories?
I actually have been very nostalgic lately for the months before launch because we were all so excited. We were like having fun guessing what was going to be in the game and what might be new to the game. In Haken Discord, we did that 100-day countdown. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was planning out Keel Hall majorly. Like, I had a little journal of what my character was going to be, what Keel Hall's theme was going to be, what little sections I was going to do. I just was feeling very creative at the time and very excited and hopeful. And it was just, you know, it was kind of agony then. But looking back on it, I feel very nostalgic for it.
I love the anticipation of an Animal Crossing game. It just feels so fun to see everybody going through that same struggle. We just want to play this wonderful game, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm also reminded that, like, that was when you discovered that you knew me before you knew me.
Yeah.
Because of my Haken Tumblr blog that I had.
And it my Haken, or my, you not Haken, but my Animal Crossing Tumblr. Yeah.
Yeah, just the days of Animal Crossing Tumblr around New Leaf, you know?
Yeah.
Such a good time. But yeah, it was so much fun being able to, like, have that anticipation and wait with everybody because I think that's just something special, something we all share. At least a lot of us share it, especially just from hanging out with our community and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, love that aspect of it. For me, a lot of my memories were just like really around having friends to play this game with. Because I think New Leaf, I feel like Animal Crossing became more of a community-driven game for me because I started seeking out online communities to hang out with and play these games with. Like, I'm always very appreciative having the experience of Animal Crossing I had, where I played the GameCube game, and I played it, like, very much how the developers intended, where it was like multiple people sharing a town together and, you know, kind of just like swapping the controller. And like, we had to make deals of like, all right, on these days you get to go play first, and on these days I get to go play first, you know, because there's like those little competitions you'd have between each other to like dig up the fossils before somebody else steals them from you, you know. But with new with the, I guess, the games as they went on and on, like Wild World felt very like more solitary than the GameCube game, because it was like on a DS and those felt like a little bit more personal. At least in my household they did. Like, I had my DS, right. My brother had his DS, so we played kind of separately at that point. And it wasn't like shared on the TV, you know. City Folk kind of brought that back a little bit, you know. Because it was on the TV and it was more shared, but at the same time, I still felt like at that point I was like, nah, it's my game. I'm doing my thing on this. And then New Leaf was like, okay, now we can play online. Well, I mean, you could play online on all of these, but like now it felt like you could find communities online and play together. So New Horizons really felt like it took that to the ultimate level for me. So yeah, I love just the together aspect of Animal Crossing, and beyond that, just experiencing the weather, seeing how the town grew and meeting all the new villagers. And I just love having those moments of like remembering all the villagers you had on your island and all of the different events that you had on your island, all the people who came and visited while you were getting things put together. I'm always tempted to like even go through my old footage and try to recreate my island just as it was before, just to have that feeling of the newness of New Horizons again. But at the same time, I'm like, no, I'm working on my new stuff. I want to really build it up with all these items that I now have, you know. But yeah, I guess, you know, we're 3 years deep. What are some of the critiques you have of the game? Nina, do you want to start here?
I still struggle with only being able to have one island per Switch. I think that does kind of make it a little more of a competitive feeling game. Like you were just saying, if you're sharing your island with someone, only one person a day is going to get those fossils, or, you know, only one person gets to build the bridges and stuff like that. And every once in a while, I get a little pang for my old Keelhaul Island, and I'd love to be able to visit again. Even though I'm really loving starting over with Bergamot and playing the newness again, I don't know. I just think that at least one more island. So many other games let you have different profiles and things. I just think it kind of suffers from that.
Did you upload a final dream address for Keelhaul?
I did, and I haven't gone and visited it yet because I'm worried if it'll make me sad or not.
Yeah, I don't want it to make you sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's fun about it. I feel the same. I'm still surprised to this day that like they decided to do it the way they did, where I was like, I was fully expecting every profile be its own island. Yeah. Everything, just that's it. That's what you got, you know? But it's not. And it makes me sad. I wanted to have 8 different islands and be able to experience the beginnings of the game again, but yeah, and sometimes it makes you buy a second Switch.
Right.
That's also, and you decide to get the New Horizons Switch again, just because if your Joy-Con ever start drifting, you want to be able to have an extra set of those beautiful, the best Joy-Con to this day. It's still the most beautiful Switch to me, the Animal Crossing one. There's some great designs out there, but the Animal Crossing one, it's just like, I can't get enough of how beautiful it is. Agreed, Nina. What about you, Sergio? What are some of your critiques of the game?
Sure, I have three of them. I would say, you know, we got terraforming, outdoor decorating, and crafting, which were like the main new features in New Horizons. But I feel like they could have used a little bit of tweaking, quality of life improvements. They're not bad per se. They're definitely very, very good additions. But we all have little picky things that we wish Nintendo would have changed to make them better. And I think the next game is going to definitely get them there. So just minor complaint, that one. Also, they removed a lot of features from New Leaf, you know, and a lot of special characters in their shops. I just wish that they would have added to New Horizons instead of taking anything out. And I think this is also another thing that the next game is going to, I would say, fix or bring back, basically. It's going to bring it all back. And last but not least, I think this is my biggest complaint complaint with New Horizons. Not enough new villagers. We got, amount. Mm. There are fan favorites for sure, but I don't think they were enough. I want a lot of new villagers. The more, the merrier. Even if it's, like, you know, slight repeats. I know we have the same species over and over, but that's okay. They can be different colors, different names, different little quirky things that they do, or items they wear, or things like that. So I want a lot of new villagers in the next game.
Yeah.
There were 100 for New Leaf, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
At least.
And that included, like, new species, too. Like, yeah. They added the deer and the hamsters during that one. So, more cats, Tab says. But yeah, like, I want them to add new species. I want them to really go out on the villagers next time. And I want them to go out on, like, the buildings, too.
Yeah.
Much like you, Sergio, like, I think now we've gotten a lot of those characters back from New Leaf. I think there's, like, a lot of them that are represented in some way and giving us, like, the Harv's Island really transformed into the main street that we had before, you know? But I think ultimately, like, I didn't want it to be Main Street again. I want all of those shops and buildings to be located on my island.
Yes.
You know? So I think, like, one of the biggest things that held Animal Crossing New Horizons back to me was that there was just, like, I think they made these decisions based on, like, the power of the hardware. This all feels like the Switch was designed to have only so much ability to do these things, you know? Mm. But with stronger hardware, I'm thinking, why not? Make something better. 'Cause we have complete freedom for how many items we can place on an island. And if you've seen an island that's really jam-packed and crammed with things, then you know how poorly the system runs once you do that. It just becomes increasingly just a bunch of pop-ins. Stuff doesn't load properly. It's tough to run it. And I'm like, Animal Crossing did it. Animal Crossing convinced me that Nintendo needs stronger hardware to handle these things, because I think what that would mean is suddenly we can add a bunch of buildings to our island. Maybe it'll even give us, like, more exterior options to change out the exteriors of the buildings and make them, I don't know, just different from the one exterior we have for all of the buildings as of now, you know? So I would like that. I would also kind of just appreciate the shops being able to grow as well. I think Nook's Cranny, a lot of people missed the aspect of it, like, becoming a bigger shop and that sort of thing. I think the biggest flaw for me with Nook's Cranny growing in New Leaf was that just Nookington's is so ugly. It's just such an ugly building. I'm like, give me that, but, like, cute.
Cozy.
Like, let us make it a cuter, cozier thing. You know what I mean? So, give me better exteriors, give me more buildings, and I'll be happy with the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, speaking of the next one, how are you both feeling about a new Animal Crossing game. Sergio, what are you feeling here?
Oh, I mean, I want it for sure. I wanted it for a while now. Like I was kind of hinting at with the complaints that I have with New Horizons, I feel like the next game, it's okay if it feels more like a sequel instead of like something too groundbreaking. Because I think New Horizons was groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, it was a 7-year difference between New Leaf and New Horizons. They definitely took time to add very cool new things. But I think this next one, it can be something like, okay, let's just bring it all back. And that's why you're getting a sequel, kind of iterative, but that's okay, I think, for the next one. And I feel like because of that, it would be sort of okay to have a new game where Nintendo is like, okay, you're getting everything between New Leaf and New Horizons. That's and everything is unlocked from day one in this new game. And then the new stuff is going to be added through kind of like a season pass type of thing. Even if we have to pay for it, I think that's okay. But yeah, it would be like monthly or every other month type of free updates or paid updates if Nintendo does that. But I think they could do that maybe for like 2 years to kind of keep things fresh and to keep people playing for at least 2 years. I think that would be a nice way to do it.
Yeah, what I really like about that is I think you're right with New Horizons being kind of like a new approach to Animal Crossing. That's definitely how I look at the game and how I feel about the game. And I think there's so much room to like build upon this new structure, you know? So I would honestly not be surprised if they like really went all out on giving us as much as possible from New Horizons and then like just building on that and making it even better, making it a much bigger experience for everyone. So I don't think that's like unreasonable. I think they definitely have, I guess, a new foundation to work upon and build upon. So yeah, I want to see them take it further. What about you, Nina? How are you feeling about a new Animal Crossing game?
I kind of feel the same way. I don't think it needs to be groundbreaking either. I do think they just need to streamline some things. Like Sergio was saying with quality of life updates, and I think they also really need to streamline online play. Getting a big group together was rough when you're trying to organize like big parties or something. It just took forever to get anyone on one island. And I think some longevity would come from bringing back online games like on Tortimer Island. So, yeah, like, again, make that longevity last a little longer. Give us stuff slower, like Sergio was saying, and give us more reason to keep coming back with online stuff.
To this day, I'm still surprised that we never got mini games, like 8-player mini games, like 4v4 ones, you know? It just felt like something that was gonna be a part of it. And to see it not, I'm still surprised. I'm just so surprised by that.
I mean, everyone was expecting that to happen.
100%. There's 8 chairs in Dodo Airlines.
That's true.
How does that not mean, why aren't we all flying somewhere together, you know? Yeah.
The plane doesn't have that many seats.
I mean, it is a very small plane. So you're right.
That's all 100%. We need in the new Horizons. Bigger planes.
Bigger plane. Yeah. Bring out the big plane. Yeah. larger airport. So many things. For me, honestly, like, I want this new game, like both of you, to just, like, really build upon this foundation. I think there are a lot of really strong new things added to New Horizons. The whole concept of crafting, I think it really shifted past Animal Crossing gameplay, where I feel like in the past, Animal Crossing was a lot about anticipation and really, like, waiting for things to happen, you know? Like, every day was a new opportunity to get an item that you could use, you know? Every day was, like, some new discovery. But with this game, I think to make it a little bit more playable and maybe make it like more possible for people to play the game longer, they were like, you know what? Now you can just craft. You don't have to wait for a store to be open the next day to buy something new to use. You know, they kind of took away some of the waiting that people experienced and really focused in on the design aspect to it.
Yeah.
And that aspect to it, I'm like, I love what they did. I love that there's like no limits with things. I'd really like more limits to be lifted. Let me plant a tree right next to a cliff or a river, for example. But also like give us more things to work with. Give us more ways to, I guess, what's the word? Remodel our furniture. Mm-hmm. Give us more ways to change the exteriors to our households. Give us ways to change the room sizes in our houses, you know? I think there's like a lot of room to really take the design aspect a lot further. But at the same time, I'm also hoping that they build out character stories a little bit more. I thought this game had by far like one of the strongest, it had a story in Animal Crossing, you know, like the fact that you were all moving to this island together, you were making all of this progress on the island just to like build up to this huge concert to make it a full-fledged town, you know, like that was really awesome. But I really would love to see that built out for more of the buildings, for example, like the Timmy and Tommy getting Nook's Cranny quest. I loved that they were like, hey, we really need these materials to make this building, to open up like an official shop here. I would love to see more of the shop owners come into the game like that. Give us a new quest and new things to achieve in order to get their building built, you know? So yeah, I want them to build on those ideas, make them go further than they have before. Because, you know, I feel like this was a new aspect to Animal Crossing. I didn't ever expect them to go as all out as they did with the story. But now that they have, I'm like, yes, give me more of this. That was the best opening to an Animal Crossing that we've ever had. So I'm ready. I'm ready for them to grow that part. Outside of that, like, also let the holidays take over the world. I know Bunny Day is a sore spot for people, but Bunny Day should be the model for the rest of the holidays. Let Halloween take over our entire islands for a month. That's what I would like. Anyways, next couple questions. When do you expect to hear about a new Animal Crossing game? Sergio, what are you thinking?
Honestly, since I think this is going to be more of a sequel type game, I do think we could hear about it early next year, so early 2024, releasing at the very latest summer 2025. A big reason for that is because I think Nintendo likes money because they're a business and they saw that New Horizons sold really, really well and it's still selling well. So yeah, I think 2025 is the year.
I feel like that's early still. I don't know. It just feels so early a couple years from now. But I do think you make a good point, though, with the fact that, like, yeah, Animal Crossing sold really well. It's kind of surprising that they're not updating it anymore, considering, like, it's the second best-selling game on a Nintendo console. But I guess we did already get all the free updates. We did already get some paid DLC. Maybe they're looking at the game and thinking it's time to bring out the next one and start doing that again, make some more money. I kind of wonder if they're wondering if it was like a little bit of luck with like how it lined up with a global pandemic, you know. but that said, I think a lot of people love Animal Crossing now. A lot more people bought New Horizons than even bought the rest of the entire series. So they definitely got new people who are into the series.
They're hungry.
For me, I think it's more of 2026. Maybe we'll see it maybe 2027. I think it just takes a long time for Nintendo to make games. And as much as they like money, I also think they're in no rush to get a lot of it. I'm looking at you, Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. Why is it taking so long? Give me that game. But yeah, I think as much as like Nintendo likes the money, I think they really do also like putting in a lot of work toward their games and making them as good as possible. And I think if we're going to get the Animal Crossing experience that I think all of us would prefer, where it's like, it feels like a full-fledged game, you know? It feels like they really made it as complete as possible before, before releasing it. That way the updates don't feel like, oh yeah, we had that in the past. That doesn't feel like a real update. That feels like you just finishing the game, you know? I think in order for them to give us that full Animal Crossing experience from the get-go and then give us like really awesome updates on top of that, it's going to take a little bit longer. So, Eileen, 2026, 2027. Nina, what are you thinking?
Never. Until we get a direct where they're like, we've started work on Animal Crossing New Heights. You know, I'm captain of the SS pessimism again. Put me back. What noise does a boat make? I'm that, not. I can't even.
That's the boat noise. Womp womp. all aboard.
All aboard. We got lollipops.
I guess with that said, do you think it'll be on the Switch or the next console? Sergio, let's start with you.
That's a coin flip type of question. I think right now it is going to be on the Switch because Nintendo said, I want to say like a year ago or maybe 2 years ago that the Switch is in the middle of its life. If that's true, then I think the Switch is going to be around for a couple more years. And I do think Animal Crossing could have a sequel on the Switch that we have now. So that's where I'm going for now. But I think it's, you know, it could go either way.
It'd be interesting. I mean, none of us expected a second Splatoon game on the Switch. And here we are, Splatoon 3, same console. But yeah, I kind of wonder. I think with how late I'm expecting New Horizons, I think it's going to be a next console thing. And I'm hoping it'll just be a launch title. The 2 year, 3 year wait for an Animal Crossing game to come to the Switch just felt terrible. I'm like, just give me the Animal Crossing up front, just right away. Yeah. Drop the Animal Crossing. I want to be there. But I mean, I don't know. I'll let Nintendo decide it, but yeah, I'm feeling more next console. What about you, Nina?
I don't know if I'm on the wrong side of the Nintendo dark web. I haven't heard many rumblings at all about a new console, except for from you guys, which is, you know, I trust you guys, but I think that, I think a launch console would be great. I would buy a new Switch in seconds if it was Animal Crossing themed. Mm-hmm. I'm still kind of sad that I have two Switches to begin with because I needed the Animal Crossing one so badly. I had a perfectly fine Switch to begin with. So I don't know. I mean, that's a way for them to make more money if they do a second Switch a couple years later of Animal Crossing again. But with how much money they have been making, maybe it will be a launch game this time.
Yeah. I mean, that I think one thing that Animal Crossing proved this time around was that people buy consoles for Animal Crossing.
Like, yeah.
That's a game that gets people to buy. There's plenty of people out there in the world who bought a Switch just to play Animal Crossing and then probably just never bought anything else.
Yeah.
They got Animal Crossing and that was enough. And I mean, I'm hoping that means like Nintendo's looking at that and saying, all right, then let's more paid DLC. Let's make this game as big as possible.
I hope so.
But with that sense, like I am hoping that it comes to a stronger console because it needs more power. More power for this one. Yeah. Okay. Well, before we go, I wanna go on a little side quest with you all really quickly. Three of us, we're just going to mention something really quick that's off topic, has nothing to do with the rest of the show. I guess mine does a little because we mentioned it earlier. But for me, my little side quest is the 3DS and Wii U eShops are closing. They're amazing things to download on there, but I think I've pinpointed the stuff that's like gonna get you the most value for what you already have there. First, get the Street Pass games. Those are so uniquely Nintendo. They are so uniquely 3DS. Like, you can play them without getting Street Pass. Like, just walk around with your 3DS in your pocket, get some coins, have random Miis show up to play these games, but they're literally going to disappear once it's gone. Go to get them. DLC for any games that you already liked. I literally went onto My Fantasy Life and just got the DLC because I was like, who knows if we'll ever be able to get this again. This one experience is here. I'm even tempted to get like the Fire Emblem Awakening DLC that I never got way back in the day. So there's probably games on your 3DS that had some sort of DLC that's going to be gone. You literally can't get it anymore. I've been playing Rusty's Real Deal Baseball. That game is weird. It's so, so dang weird. It's baseball mini games. There's this guy, Rusty. He's having a real rough time in his life. His wife left him. He's got 10 kids to feed. And haggling it with him to get the best deals on these games. let me tell you, get it now because you might not have enough time to get the discounts on the game if you wait. It's $40 if you go without discount. I think if you haggle with him, you have to actually play the game to get these discount tickets and haggle with him. It comes down to like $16, less than half the price. So it's such a weird game. He's got a Nintendo device called the 4DS. Oh, it's amazing. It's so weird. It's literally written into the game. I can't tell you how weird it is. There's a bunch of other games that are like 3DS only things. Things like Rhythm Heaven, Mega Mix, that's only on the 3DS. Harmonite, all the Pushmo games. There's one on the Wii U as well. All the first and second gen Pokemon games. Just find something strange to play on there. It's great. I love it. But yeah, definitely look into the DLC for games that you already love and own, because that's the stuff where like that's gonna disappear. The hard to find Wii games and Wii U games and 3DS games too. Already there's a bunch of Wii U games that are really expensive online. I was looking at like Game and Wario and I was like, man, I guess I should have bought that before it became like triple the price on eBay. So I was just like, you know what, I'll just download it. So yeah, there's a bunch of hard to find games on there. Even the Wii U warning I have is you're gonna run out of space on the Wii U. It is worth getting a hard drive to get games saved on there, because you will be able to download them later if you don't have room. So make sure you buy them so you can actually re-download or download them for the first time, even after the eShop closes. It's literally just closing, so you won't be able to make new purchases. But that's it. Get some weird 3DS stuff that you're literally not going to be able to experience again because it'll be gone. The Street Pass stuff especially. Like, that's top of my list. You will not be able to get this. Unless maybe the Switch 2 will have Street Pass. But even then, I'm like, will they bring this back? Right. Who knows? It just feels so uniquely 3DS. So, Sergio, what's your side quest?
Cool. So I have some good news that I wanted to share with everybody. I need to give you a little bit of backstory for this. So about 8 years ago, I needed to get eye surgery because my eye pressure was a little too high. I have glaucoma. And I needed the surgery to kind of balance the pressure out, and it worked, but my vision got you know, worse. It wasn't too worse, but it was definitely noticeable. I couldn't read as well. I needed, like, bigger font. Still manageable, but yeah, definitely noticeable. After about 2 years after that, things got a little bit better. And, you know, I thought, okay, maybe that's it. You know, that's as good as it's going to get. But for about a month, and kind of out of nowhere, and for no real reason that I can think of, or even the doctor, because I asked her, but my vision has been considerably better, both up close and far away. I've been able to lower the font size of my devices, my home and work computer, and I can still read everything clearly. And honestly, it's been like one of the best feelings of my life, and like being able to see more things, and everything is so much sharper and in focus, and it's been amazing. Like, I feel like, you know, more confident. Wow. I feel like looking at things more because I can. It's been an awesome feeling. And I wanted to share the good feelings with everybody because, you know, a lot of people out there are going through, you know, they have conditions, or you might have something. And first of all, best of luck to everybody, and keep on fighting the good fight. But as you can see, pun intended, you never know when something or things might get better out of nowhere. So just, you know, keep doing your best, and best wishes to everybody. Yeah, it's been a great feeling.
Wow.
That's amazing. I love that. That's exciting, yeah. Sergio. I'm glad it's magically fixed up for you.
Yeah,
yeah, at least that's a bit. So interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congrats. Nina, what's your side quest?
Oh, well, definitely not as exciting as, you know, vision being miraculously healed. That's incredible. I recently got a really good deal from a friend on a hand-me-down Xbox S that I had, you know, been thinking about buying, and was kind of hesitating because of how pricey they can be. But, you know, this was a super good deal, and it came with some games already downloaded, and it came with the Game Pass things. I've got access to a lot of games. And then my little brother treated me to Red Dead Redemption because it was $20 on sale recently. So I need Xbox game recommendations. So if you have any, nice. I guess let me know in comments or somewhere, or in Discord, anywhere, so that I can, you know, become my best Xbox self, I guess.
Viva Piñata.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's good.
Viva Piñata. Those, all of them. They're so good. Yes, that's exciting. I felt the same way when I got Sergio's old Xbox, when I was like, man, this is first Xbox I've ever had. And look at all of these things on Game Pass.
Yeah.
For all of these years of Xbox that I've never experienced. And so it's definitely like a really fun time to just find all these things. Oh, Fable. You might like the Fable games.
Oh, I played Fable in high school.
They got them all. They got all three of them on the Game Pass. So
I'd like to revisit that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So there's some great ones. I'm thinking of what would Nina really like on there. But yeah, even having access to like a bunch of indies and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's so much to play on there. It's really a good time. So I guess you're gonna have to drop Breath of the Wild, right? You've been replaying that?
Yeah, I beat it again. So
you're done.
Yeah. Well, so I'm ready for my new era.
Good. Yeah, spend as much time in that era before the new Zelda comes out, because that'll
exactly.
take over our lives for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for tuning in to this episode of Haken, an Animal Crossing podcast. We'll be back next month. In the meantime, why not share an old picture from your first week in New Horizons? Tag us at Haken Podcast on Instagram or Twitter to show off your creation, and we'll see you all very soon.
Goodbye, everybody.
See you all next time.